Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the PNR Podcast. I am your host with the most, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. just kidding. It's me as always. Still the host with the most, but yes, Mike Proud. As always, catch me on Facebook with Polrel PCast. They wouldn't let me use the PNR or any sort of combination thereof, any variant. So, yeah, I had to make some sort of BS name up. Hopefully that gets fixed in the future to what I want it to be. And you can catch me on Twitter with the PNR Podcast. If you type that in, I should come up. Use an ampersand or an and. I think either way, you'll get me. That's if you want to discuss this episode or any other episode. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm on social media. Check me out. We can talk. And let's get on with it. So this episode, it's not going to be the military one, like I had said at the end of the Holocaust episode. This episode is titled The Fiction We Wish Were Real, which is a couple of fictional stories that, like I said, I think you and I wish were real, but it didn't turn out that way. And, you know, I kind of wanted to do something lighthearted this week because the military, you know, the Holocaust is a very serious episode, and the military certainly is. The military is at least, you know, it's serious to me because I have a huge bone to pick with them, and as much as I appreciate their purpose, like I said, I got some shit on my chest that I gotta get off about them. I don't know which way I'm gonna do that show. I have two formats in mind, and they're both gonna be covered in some regard. Like, you know, the first episode, it might be one format, and then, you know, down the road, I'll cover the other format that I was gonna do. You'll just have to tune in to see which way I go about this. Because, frankly, I'm still on the fence. I think Saturday night, I'm going to be looking at my, you know, my ideas and be like, okay, this is the one we're going to go with. But it's really going to be like almost a game time decision, to borrow a term from, you know, pro sports or even NCAA or whatever. Yeah, so, and you know what? We're not just going to do two episodes in the military because just look at the way things are going at Fort Hood. You think I'm going to stop with just two? Honestly, like, the military's, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be the main focus of this podcast because nothing really is, but in the same respect, like, I'm not going to let my foot off the throat of the Army or the military anytime soon. So we'll do that next week, you know. I'll tag the shit out of everybody I know that, you know, has served with either me in the Army or, you know, other branches. I'm sure Paul will share this episode with his brother-in-law, and, you know, it will get passed around, and hopefully everybody goes on social media and, you know, lets me know what they think about the military and this episode that we're recording right now, previous, like, whatever you want to discuss. But if you do talk to me on social media, just at least for the future, because, you know, we're only five deep at this point. But in the future, just say this topic, this episode, and I can always look back at my list and go, oh, okay, that's what I talked about on that episode. Okay, I'm tracking with what they want to talk about. But we're five deep right now, so you don't really have to worry about that for a little while at least. But yeah, so this week I'm going to discuss a few stories. And then we'll go from there. This might be my shortest one. I can't remember if it was politics or religion. That's the shortest one thus far. I think it was the political one I did, what party and why. But because I'm going to talk about these stories very briefly. So let's get into it. So first guy, if you know, all the males out there might know this guy's story. At least all the males that were, I don't know, if you were born like in the last like 15 years, you might not know this guy's story, but I think the rest of the males will out there. And maybe even some females. There's some females that like action movies, so I shouldn't just say all the males, but you know, I'm going to go with that at least. But if you're a female and knows the story, very good. Okay, so the name is Frank Dukes. Frank Dukes is the subject of the classic Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Bloodsport, circa 88, I believe. So, yeah, Frank Dukes. He very, like you know, okay, so you see the movie, 90 minutes long, whatever. He goes, he's in the army. Well, we get started even before that. Because he wasn't in the army. I got that messed up. But we're going to start even before that part of the movie. So Frank Dukes, he's like this hooligan kid or whatever. And he busts into this guy's house to steal the samurai sword. And his kid catches him. His kid knows karate, beats him up. And then the guy talks about the importance of the katana. So he takes the katana and swings it and cuts his hat in half. freaks out little Frank Dukes. So anyways, though, after that, they kind of fast forward a little bit into the future. He does training with the Tanakas after that. I don't know how, because I guess he learned the story of, you know, respect the sword by earning it, and that's, I guess he wanted to earn it after. So he does training with them, and the son dies in like a car accident or whatever. So he can't fight in this important tournament called the Kumite. So Frank Dukes, we're gonna fast forward a little bit after this. Now he's in the Air Force. And he learns that his master that had trained him to fight in this tournament is, you know, and now he earned that katana. He's sick or whatever. So he goes AWOL, which is like the worst thing you can do, to visit him. And then, so he visits with his master. He says, okay, I'm going to fight in the Kumite to honor you or whatever. So goes to Hong Kong. The military police, the CID, they track him down to Hong Kong to, like, prevent him from this fight, and they chase him through the streets all the time. Like, he can barely ever escape from these guys in Kowloon, which is the walled city. That's where the Kumite is held. It's held in the underground dojo there. So he's evading the CID the entire movie. And then he earns his way into the tournament by proving that he can break select bricks, because his master taught him how to do that. So that's how he gets to the tournament, though. He breaks the brick they select. And then, like I said, these guys, this CID unit is just, they're on his ass like the entire movie. So he has to keep on escaping from them. And then finally they relent, because they corner him in an alley. I think Forrest Whitaker was one of the MPs or CID investigators, whatever he was. And he brings out a taser, shoots the taser at Frank Dukes. Frank Dukes, with his lightning quick reflexes, he grabs a garbage bin can lid, and he uses it to deflect the taser. The prongs hit one of like a Hong Kong policeman or whatever, and then the chief of police is like, okay, you guys are done. You're not chasing after this dude anymore. I'm not helping you. It's over. And of course, the CID guys are like, well, okay, we hurt somebody. We're not allowed to go after you anymore. Good luck in the tournament. So they ask for tickets to go like see him beat up these dudes or whatever. But yeah, so he's kicking ass in this tournament. He meets all these other fighters. One of the guys he meets is this big American guy. I think his name was Ray Jackson. Befriends him, but the badass dude in the tournament, Chong Lee, like nearly fucking kills him. Like the first time I even saw the movie, I thought he did. But yeah, so he cripples him, basically, though. Like, dude's in the hospital, like, in a fucking coma or whatever. And he takes his bandana, and he's like, oh, you want this, Frank Dukes? Well, you gotta fucking beat me to get it. This is symbolic of me almost fucking killing your friend. And as the tournament keeps on going on, Chong Lee does kill somebody. Jean-Claude Van Damme meets this attractive blonde woman because, you know, it's an action movie from the 80s, so of course they're going to have that. Ends up having sex with her. Good for him. What else happens in the movie? Okay, yeah, so he gets to the finals or whatever, though, because like I said, you just all you see is just people beating the shit out of each other because it's the blood sports, the kumite. So they finally get to the finals, of course, because, you know, it's a blockbuster movie. He's going to meet the main villain, so it's him and Chong Li in the finals. And Chong Li is a fucking cheating-ass bastard. So he takes this, like, salt fucking tablet or sand or whatever from, like, his belt, and he crushes it up, and he fucking throws it in Frank Dukes' eyes and then starts beating the shit out of him because Frank Dukes can't see him or whatever. So then he goes back to his training, though, with his master, and that's one of the things his master taught him was to fight with a blindfold on. So he goes back to his training, pulls that, you know, out of, that little rabbit out of his hat, fucking uses that to destroy Chong Li, and then he's like, he's a legend now in the kumite or whatever. Okay, so that's, you know, that's what happened in the movie, but, you know, here's the things that I read this shit, and I was heartbroken after. Well, one more thing. At the end of the movie, they list, like, all these records. He's, like, 70 wins straight, undefeated, like, fastest knockout time. Just, like, all these random records that Frank Dukes claimed to have. But then, you know, you read the article about the real guy, and it's just, like I said, it was heartbreaking. Like, he... first of all, he doesn't remember any... Now he doesn't remember any of the details of the kumite, like, oh, well, how many specifically he knocked out, or if that really was his fastest. And, like, all the stuff that he told Jean-Claude Van Damme and the movie makers, like, oh, yeah, this is the stuff, he kind of, like, reneges on now. But here's, like, the worst part of it. He doesn't remember if he fought a kumite in Nassau, which is in the Bahamas, or in Kowloon, which is Hong Kong. So it's like, how do you not even remember that, like, most important detail or whatever? So it's like, okay, maybe you don't remember the exact years. You don't remember the exact bouts. You know, you don't remember the exact time. And, of course, you were boastful about the stuff when you put it out there. But, okay, you don't remember it now. How do you not remember where you fought, though? And here's the other thing about Frank Dukes. He had, like I said, I think he just used the story to kind of set up his dojos or whatever, because I guess he set up a few karate studios after that. He kind of capitalized off the blood sport fame and whatnot. There was some guy, I guess he's a pretty good kickboxer, but versus Frank Dukes is, you know, reported caliber of fighting was, this guy should have been just fucking destroyed by him. Anyways, though, so that guy challenges Frank Dukes to a fight, and, you know, if Frank Dukes is the man that he claims to be, would have just fucking whipped his ass, like, cleanly and easily, but no, he got beat up by this other dude. Like I said, I'm not trying to take anything away from this guy. I'm sure he's a very competent kickboxer, could kick my ass, I'm sure, but, you know, sight even unseen. But, you know, like I said, you compare Frank Dukes' story to this guy, then Frank Dukes should, like, win... Hands down, he didn't. This guy whooped his ass. So, yeah, like, reading the truth about Frank Dukes, that was hard. Because I love Bloodsport. It's awesome. And I like a lot of the stuff that Jean-Claude Van Damme did at the beginning, like Death Warrant and whatnot. Everything after Time Cop, not so much. But, like, Kickboxer's a fucking phenomenal film. And then, like I said, Bloodsport, that's my favorite. I love Death Warrant, even though that's ridiculous. Like, the pole goes, that steam thing goes through the Sandman, and he's still alive. Like, yeah, that was over the top. But yeah, like a lot of like his first 10 movies or whatever. I don't know if that's the exact number, but yeah, I love all those Jean-Claude Van Damme films. I'll watch the hell out of them. So this is even something on Jean-Claude Van Damme, though. He got fooled like the rest of us did. Frank Dukes told this amazing story. The Hollywood people are like, yeah, let's do it, and Jean-Claude Van Damme will take your place, and yeah, we'll shoot this movie. It will be awesome, but Frank Dukes is apparently a liar, and it's sad. Okay, the next story I got on deck is called, I hope I don't screw up this pronunciation. It's Greek, but I'm pretty sure I got it. Polybius. Now, this story is really wild. This is going to be a lot quicker because there's no movie, well, there's no Hollywood movie on it, maybe someday. But the government, yeah, it's one of those. The government wanted to study the effects of video game playing on the populace to see if they could control their mind, make them sick, give them night terrors. I might laugh a little while I'm telling the story, but I like it. That's why I'm going with it. So anyways, though, Polybius is this arcade game. It's only available in, like, Portland, Oregon. I don't even know if it's Oregon. Maybe it's Maine. Portland somewhere. I think they want you to assume Oregon. But, like, on all the sources I've went to, I don't think they really even specify if it's Oregon or Maine. So Portland, USA, we'll go with. They make these arcade machines. And they put them in the arcades around Portland, wherever. And this is probably what helps the story not be real. I wish it were, too. Oh, because this is crazy. You know, it's only a handful of arcades or whatever. Arcades were huge at the time this game was made, which I think was 83. So, yeah, they install... Supposedly, there's one arcade cabinet or two, like, per arcade in Portland, wherever. And these people start playing it because, oh, it's a new game. And, you know, the new game always gets your quarters first before you move on to the stuff that you love. So they go play this game, and people start, you know, reporting to doctor's offices like, oh, I play this game or whatever. Now I throw up randomly, or, oh, all I can see when I close my eyes is the shapes and the blinking lights and... Oh, I'm having nightmares. Oh, I'm so scared. So anyways, these big pussies like fucking complain about playing this game or whatever. The game is made by a company, after butchering all this German last week, fuck it, I'm just going to throw it out there, Schoenschleich or something like that. And it's supposed to mean mind-deleting. Okay. But then the reports also, though, were these arcade owners getting approached by very official-looking guys like the MIBs, basically, Men in Black, MIBs, that were coming into the arcades and collecting the data off the machines, like, ooh, this much quarters in there, and it's been played this many times. And so they were collecting this, like, recorded data, which that's pretty impressive for a machine back in 83. But anyways, so, yeah, there's these machines, and then they went as fast as they came. No one has any proof of it. Somebody made a fake, like, ROM image for it. And then there's this guy that supposedly worked for the Schoenschleich company or whatever. Oh, yeah, I was a lead programmer. It's a government conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. It's a total fake. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because there's not one surviving machine. If one machine had survived, then you got something. But none of them, it was only Portland, so yeah, that's easy, because New York City versus Portland, yeah, a lot less area for arcades to occupy, so a lot less arcades, so a lot less machines. But, so that's the story, though. There was this, like I said, it was a government experiment, and they only did it for a little while, and they got what they wanted out of it, I guess. They wanted to see if they could use video games to make people ill, basically, mentally or physically or both. And, yeah, like I said, there's none that exist anymore. And that's why I don't believe it. Because if one left over, I'd be like, oh, yeah, hey, look at that. There's records in there. And, oh, I guess play the game. Oh, the government was doing it. Oh, I have a seizure now. So this is for real. There's not one out in the wild there somewhere. Now, people have made Polybius machines, and supposedly they're actually really fun. They're really thoughtful games according to the description, but not to actually make you sick. They're just fun, like little shmups or whatever. But that's still not the same as the actual supposed government experiment machine. So that's Polybius for you. Polybius, if you want to look it up. Our third story, this is almost a trilogy of sorts, is cryptids. Now, if you don't know what a cryptid is like an animal that a lot of people swear is a thing, but it's not. It's an animal that it never existed at any point. It's not like a saber tooth or like a woolly mammoth or something where it's like, okay, 50,000 years ago or whatever, that thing did exist, but it went extinct because it froze or whatever the case is. So unlike those animals like that, or even dinosaurs that, you know, the asteroid hit or whatever, nuclear winter, they all eventually die. The only thing that ever seems to live through any extinction event is a fucking cockroach, go figure. But that's what a cryptid is. So I'm just going to name a couple of my favorite cryptids, kind of just describe them real quick, and then we'll almost be done. I picked first, we're going to start with a kraken. A kraken is just a humongous squid. Like, if you look at the pictures of this thing, it's hilarious to look at. Another one is a sea serpent. I really like the sea serpents. I wouldn't like it nowadays, though. Like, I'm glad these things don't exist, because a kraken or a sea serpent, like, wrapping around your ship and just fucking taking you down to the bottom of the ocean. For what purpose, too? Like, are they going to, like, bite through the metal of, like, a boat or something and, like, find the sailors or whatever and eat them? Like, that's fucking wild if it's smart enough to do that. And it's kind of funny, too, like, things like the Kraken and the Sea Serpent. Like, if you look on old maps, like, they'll have pictures of these things, like, in the middle of the ocean. Because, like, old cartographers were like, oh, you know the whaling ship or merchant ship or spice ship or whatever type of ship went out there to fucking do whatever it was going to do and, like, make contact with the New World? Yeah, that thing got, like, fucking wrapped up by a sea serpent and, like, ate everything. It wasn't, like, a big storm or humongous waves or anything that actually took the ship down. It was a fucking sea serpent, I swear. So, yeah, if you look at these, like, old maps or whatever that are, like, jacked up to begin with because they really didn't know much about the New World, just, like, the Americas, basically. If you look up these crazy maps, you'll see, like, a sea serpent sprinkled here and there. So let the sailors know, don't go in these waters. There's, like, a sea serpent there or the fucking Kraken will take you down or whatever. Architeuthis is out there. Oh, man. The next one I picked was Bigfoot, you know, Sasquatch or whatever, and his cousin, the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman. Again, it'd be kind of cool to have this thing real, but I'm glad it's not. Because the seldom times I ever go out in the wilderness, if I fucking ran into Sasquatch or whatever, I don't want him to, like, look at me like he did in that, like, home video or whatever. And in that one, you know, he walks off into his cave home or whatever. But he could have changed his mind if he sees me and he'd be like, he'll like come over and fucking just snap me in half and kill me and then like have sex with my dead body or whatever. So yeah, I'm so fucking glad that those things don't exist. I don't want to fuck with a Bigfoot or anything like that. And, yeah, his cousin, the Yeti, same deal, just white fur, polar version, lives in Tibet or whatever. So yeah, I don't imagine I'm going to climb, Kilimanjaro or Everest, or I don't, is Kilimanjaro, I might not even be in like Nepal or Tibet, it might be like in Africa or something. Anyways though, yeah, I'm not going to climb any of those Himalayan mountains anytime soon, but if I were one of those guys, I'm glad the Yeti's not a real thing, because, you know, he'll fucking kill me and then like eat my innards or whatever. So, and then fucking just toss me right off the mountain and cause a fucking avalanche. Well, maybe that's not how that happens. I don't know. But you know, like I said, I'm glad these cryptids, which is what these creatures are, I'm glad they don't exist. And there's many other ones too, though. I didn't want to really go down the entire range of them. Like there's like the Chupacabra and the Wendigo and the Jersey Devil and like Bat Boy and there's like so many of them. Like you can look them up. Dragons, that's another huge popular one. So yeah, if you really want to know all the cryptids, you can just look them up on the internet. There's like 100 of them. And of course, we got to cover Baxter Stockman's fly form. That's probably my favorite cryptid, really. That's a joke. Look that up too, though, if you just want to see what I'm talking about, if you don't know. Baxter Stockman's fly form. Yeah, he put the mutagen on Rocksteady and Bebop, and then I guess he spilled some on himself, and then he turned into a fucking ugly fly. And he kind of liked it, though, because he's a sick fuck. So, yeah, Baxter Stockman's fly form, favorite cryptid. This last one, I can't even mention the name. Because I wanna talk about the guy, but he'll sue the shit out of me, basically. Like, he's, like, the Scientologists sue everybody. This guy will sue me, too. So I'm not going to get in depth about him. Not going to talk about his records. I'm actually going to say something nice about him. And he can't sue me over that because it's not defamation or libel or anything. It might make a little more sense when this makes it on the YouTube in the coming weeks because I'll at least maybe post a picture, maybe. Like I said, I have to be careful with this guy. This is a guy I used to respect a lot, though. Like, I'll go in depth a little bit, at least. Before I say, you know, the one thing I'm really going to genuinely say nice about him. This guy I respected a long time ago before I kind of knew, like, his entire history. And he's a video game player. He's a phenomenal video game player. Whether he's the best at certain things has now been a question of debate. And I'm not going to get into the specific game because there's one where they're like, okay, your records are questionable, and now we're going to take them down. And then I think he's actually been accused of being an outright cheater. And if you look at the evidence, it's possible. I'm not going to say either way because, like I said, I could say it one way and get sued, or I could say it another way and I don't know if I'd be being truthful if I did. So we'll leave it at that. There's two ways this story goes, two sides of every story. I don't know what's what, and we'll leave it at that. But like I said, I used to respect the guy till these kind of things came out, and then I saw a documentary on him, and I'm like, wow, this guy's kind of bad. But I will say this about him. I don't think, because a lot of his records got questioned, and I think they threw out a lot of them, and I think the one I'm going to talk about is one of the ones that's thrown out, and I don't think it's fair, because I think this is at least one that he didn't fudge. He played on as far as we all know, he played on a legitimate machine, and there was a lot of witnesses. It was at my favorite place in the world, Fun Spot. He's maybe not the first one to do it, but I guess he's at least the first one to do it. Maybe, you know, in front of witnesses in an arcade or whatever, not just, oh, I beat it. Here's a Polaroid of me doing it. Which, if that's real too, fine. But like I said, I think with all the elements combined, like the true machine and witnesses and all that, I think, like I said, I'm not going to say the guy's name. I think that record should remain, though. And I think any similar records, you know, where they looked in the machine's the real deal, not gimmicked in any way, and he's in front of witnesses and he earns the score, then all those type of records should be reinstated. Now, the ones that maybe they question, like I said, I'm not saying for sure because I don't want to get sued. But the ones that are at least questioned, I can at least have my opinion about this. Okay, take them down and say, hey, here's a real machine. Prove it. And then go from there. But like I said, all those other ones that I think like he earned fair and square, why are you going to take him down? Punish him with the ones that he might have cheated on. Because like I said, I am not going to say that for real. I don't want to get sued. I'm a very poor guy. I enjoy a middle-class lifestyle. That's it. I don't have money to be spending on lawyers and lawsuits, and if I win, I don't want to get into a countersuit either. I'm not going to say a lot of things that could get me sued. So, yeah, any of the ones that might be questioned, okay, fine. Question it. Do what you got to do. All the ones that you know we earned fair and square, though, good machine, witnesses, blah, 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 reinstate them. Let's be fair about this. Even if he's not being fair on some games, you be the bigger man. Be fair about it. Give him his records back on the ones that you know for a fact he earned. And I feel like that Pac-Man score, which was, like I said, maybe not the first, but the first, at least under the conditions, give that back to him. Okay, that's it, though. Just those four stories. And like I said, next week we will cover the military. So a few quick shout-outs. Shout-out to Lethal. Shout-out to Nelson the Innovative. And shout-out to Rockstar. I feel like I've already give Helm and Joey San Antone a few shout-outs, so I thought I should give these guys a shout-out because I'm sure Lethal's, you know, a loyal listener now, and I know the other two guys are because they try to listen. They tell me, and they do talk about some things I've said on the show. So, yeah, they're loyal listeners, and I'm sure Lethal is. And like I said, I already gave, like, a shout-out to Jeff. I haven't really given a shout-out to Paul, but I at least mentioned him in damn near every episode. So there you go, Paulie. And like I said, Helm and Joey San Antone. I'd give Paul a real shout-out if he just wouldn't be such a dick about Seinfeld. He's not on the bitch list. No one is yet. But yeah, if you just say, oh, I'm sorry, Seinfeld is actually, it's probably the best sitcom ever. I'd be like, oh, okay, all's forgiven. You're going to get a shout-out, bro, for doing the right thing. But no, he's fucking stubborn, so no shout-out for you. Little Seinfeld reference there. So yes, shout-out to Lethal. Shout-out to Nelson the Innovative. I know why that's his nickname. He knows why it is. I don't know if everybody knows, but we know. And shout out to my boy Rocky, a.k.a. the Rockstar. So, okay, like I said, next week's episode is going to be the military episode. And I don't know the format yet, but that's what we are going to discuss. So, until next time, donate to the ALS Association, ALS.org, and I think ALSA.org, too. I think both web addresses will work for that. So, donate to your ALS charity. If not them, at least donate to some other charity. Let's get rid of all the fucking disease and all the evil in the world. And good night, Malcolm Butler, wherever you are.